Je vous exhorte donc, frères, par la compassion de Dieu, à offrir vos corps comme un sacrifice vivant, saint, agréable à Dieu, ce qui sera de votre part un culte raisonnable. Ne vous conformez pas au siècle présent, mais soyez transformés par le renouvellement de l'intelligence, afin que vous discerniez quelle est la volonté de Dieu, ce qui est bon, agréable et parfait. Par la grâce qui m'a été donnée, je dis à chacun de vous de n'avoir pas de lui-même une trop haute opinion, mais de revêtir des sentiments modestes selon la mesure de foi que Dieu a partie de chacun. Car, comme nous avons plusieurs membres dans un seul corps, et que tous les membres n'ont pas la même fonction, ainsi, nous qui sommes plusieurs, nous formons un seul corps en Christ, et nous sommes tous membres les uns des autres. Puisque nous avons des dons différents, selon la grâce qui nous a été accordée, que celui qui a le don de prophétie exerce en proportion de la foi. Que celui qui est appelé au ministère s'attache à son ministère. Et celui qui enseigne s'attache à son enseignement. Et celui qui exhorte à l'exhortation, que celui qui donne le fasse avec libéralité. Que celui qui préside le fasse avec zèle. Que celui qui pratique la miséricorde le fasse avec foi. Que l'amour soit sans hypocrisie, ayez le zèle, honore, attachez-vous fortement au bien. Par amour fraternel, soyez pleins d'affection les uns pour les autres. Par honneur, usez de prévenance réciproque. Ayez du zèle, non de la paresse. Soyez fervent d'esprit, servez le Seigneur. Réjouissez-vous en espérance et patient de l'affliction, persévérez de la prière. Pourvoyez aux besoins des saints, exercez l'hospitalité, bénissez ceux qui vous maudissent et ne maudissez pas. Réjouissez-vous avec ceux qui se réjouissent, pleurez avec ceux qui pleurent. Ayez le même sentiment les uns envers les autres. N'aspirez pas à ce qui est élevé, mais laissez-vous attirer par ce qui est humble. Ne soyez point sage à vos propres yeux. Ne rendez à personne le mal pour le mal. Recherchez ce qui est bien devant tous les hommes. S'il est possible, autant que cela dépend de vous, soyez en paix avec tous les hommes. Ne vous vengez pas, bien-aimés, vous-même, bien-aimés, mais laissez agir la colère, car il est écrit, « À moi la vengeance, à moi la rétribution, dit le Seigneur. » Mais si ton ennemi a faim, donnez-lui à manger. S'il a soif, donnez-lui à boire. Car en agissant ainsi, tu amasseras de charbon ardent sur sa tête. Ne te laisse pas vaincre par le mal. Mais laissez-vous attirer par le bien. Que Dieu vous bénisse.
Pastor, Dufort, if you'll wait one moment, please. I asked Brother Dufort to please read today in Creole because God in his sovereignty has, in French, God in his sovereignty has placed many French and Creole speaking people in our community. Well, estimates well over 2,000 from Haitian descent who are in our county now. And I am thankful that God brings the nations to us, and we can be a place where we can share the gospel and outdo one another in showing honor. And Duford, I am reminded of what most of these people would not know. There are 3 Haitian congregations in our county now, and that all started as a Bible study in your garage, that you decided at first that you would begin to minister to and assemble some so that in their language they could learn. And I want to say thank you. I'm thankful for what you have done. We are thankful to have you and your family in our church. God sent you here long before we had any idea that such a large influx of people from Haitian descent would be coming here. And it seemed somewhat of a strange thing that God would put right down in the middle of Albertville, Alabama, the Fontaine family, the Philippe family, the Maryland family, and here are these 3 families, all one family together. It just seemed like, well, God's been kind to us. But I see now, over the past 15, 16 years, just what God was doing. And I'm so thankful for the sovereignty of God. And so I want to say to you, thank you as a friend and as a member of our church. We're thankful that you had a vision to start a Bible study years ago that now we see the fruit of it in 3 congregations. So thank you, my friend. I want to say that to you. God bless you. Thank you. If you have not really got to spend time with this dear man and his wife, you need to. They're a joy and a privilege to have in our faith family. We continue on in Romans 12. It's all about practical living and purposeful faith. And part of that is lived out among our French and Creole speaking neighbors. Part of it is lived out among our Spanish speaking neighbors. Part of it is lived out among our English speaking neighbors. All around us, God has given us opportunities to walk the message of Romans chapter 12. Next week will be our final week of this series. I'm sad to see it go. I have thoroughly enjoyed this together. I wish Paul had written a little more, but we're going to do all he gave us. And so we will begin in 2 weeks a new series through the book of 1 Peter. I'm looking forward for us traveling together down that road. And there's one entire chapter of 1 Peter that really is a follow-up to Romans 12. One written by Paul, one written by Peter. But through the Holy Spirit, it's like one has made a foundation for the other. It's going to be a great time together as we move through 1 Peter. But for today, if you're new today or maybe you've been out because it's the summer quite a bit, let me give you a recap of what we have covered so far since the beginning of June. Romans chapter 12, it's a journey to live out practical faith. What we've discovered so far, true worship begins in the head and the heart, but it always leads to the hands and the home. You can't just make worship be sing a song, lift a hand in praise, have it in your heart. It's got to be lived out with our hands, our feet, our actions. We reminded ourselves early on in the passage that we are to read the word of God and reduce the world in our lives. That's how we are renewed. We read the word, we reduce the world. Then we discovered that spiritual gifts always come with work gloves. We gave everyone in attendance that day a pair of these work gloves. I hope you have them sitting in your house somewhere as a reminder that God has supernaturally gifted you as a believer with a gift from the Holy Spirit that you are to use, but it is not a gift to sit dormant. It always comes with some work gloves. We're always to be about what God is doing and what He is up to. We talked about outdoing one another in showing honor. That comes straight from the scripture, that we're to outdo one another in showing honor. In other words, make a goal to love and honor people more than anyone in the room, whatever room you go into, and you'll find Jesus every time. In your living room, try to love and honor people more than anyone. In your kitchen, in your workplace, in your classroom, teachers, as you head there this week, my teacher friends, can I encourage you, outdo everyone else in showing honor. Try to show more love to everyone that enters your classroom than anyone else, and you'll find Jesus Tuesday. I'm telling you, it will happen. And then we learned there's a difference in loving God with your heart, soul, and mind, and loving God with all of your heart and all of your soul and all of your mind. God wants all of us. It's the Holy Spirit boiling up out of us. We looked at a Jim Elliot quote, a well-known martyred missionary, that says, wherever you are, be all there. Live to the hilt every situation you believe to be the will of God. Pastor Justin spoke to us 1 week and shared from this passage in Romans 12 that Jesus is enough. We don't need anything else. Jesus truly is enough. And Chris Todd hit on that in a lot of ways last week, our missionary to Lebanon. No matter what the trial, no matter what the tribulation, Jesus is enough. Then we talked about not settling to be a consumer in the church. Churches are full of consumers, but we need to be a contributor in the faith family, giving who we are to the kingdom of God and not just receiving. We focused on hospitality, that hospitality is a gospel issue, that God's called us to be hospitable as individuals, to invite people into our home, to love on people in our community, and he's called us to be hospitable as a church. We've now had 51 different people from our church attend a meeting to be a part of our First Impressions team, and you'll see them out and about here in the next few weeks. What a blessing that was, and others who want to participate as well. We also learned this little phrase, when put to the test, remember to bless. It's the idea from Romans 12 where it says to bless those who curse you. Bless and do not curse them. When you're put to the test, remember to bless. We discussed never underestimating the power of simply showing up. You just show up in someone's life. You rejoice with those who rejoice. You weep with those who weep. A whole lot of that's been happening this last week with people's lives and having difficulties and crisis. It's been a blessing for me just to get to show up in some people's lives. Rejoice with some, weep with some, pray for some. And last week or 2 weeks ago, Justin shared about striving for harmony and not to be haughty. So today we pick right up in verse 17. So Romans chapter 12, verse 17, if you'll look right here. We'll cover a couple of verses today and the rest next week and we'll wrap up. Romans 12, 17. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Let me read that one more time. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. It is so easy and natural to repay evil for evil, to repay anger with anger, to repay snarky with snarky. If you don't know what snarky is, come to me later, I'll show you. But anyway, the truth is, I'll point you to something. No, I'm just kidding. That was not good. It's a natural reaction to respond with the same offense you were given. That is natural in the natural man. That is natural for you. No one had to teach you how to be angry when someone's angry. No one had to teach you how to make an evil comment when someone makes an evil comment to you. No one had to teach you how to snip when someone snips at you. It is natural to the human evil man, the natural man, the sinful man. How many families have been ruined by doing what feels natural? How many jobs have been lost by people responding to a situation in a way that feels natural? How many relationships have been destroyed by reacting naturally in the midst of some situation? Let me give you a good example. There are two well-known shoe and sports apparel companies in this world. There are several, but I want to focus on two for a moment. Adidas, the company Adidas, they sell clothing and shoes. They generated $25 billion with the B last year. Very successful. The company Puma, which is also a shoe company and an apparel company, Puma generated almost $6 billion with the B last year in 2017. Now, both of those would be considered incredibly successful in the world standards. Now, there's a difference in $6 billion and $25, but both are incredible giants in the sports industry. But what most people do not know is that these two sporting giants, both companies were founded by two brothers, two German brothers, Rudolf and Adolf Dassler were the brothers' names. And they founded a company together back in the 1920s. They were living in Germany. They opened a little shoe shop right on the river in the town where they lived. And they began to make some shoes. They were just trying to scrap their way through. And they made some shoes that ended up being worn by some very well-known famous Olympians in the Olympics in the mid-20s. And it allowed their business to begin to boom. And as the business boomed, the brothers develop some type of rift and animosity between each other. And that rift and animosity grew and grew and grew, and then it became miscommunication after miscommunication, and World War II came along. And in the midst of that, one little incident happened that was the final straw that broke the camel's back, so to speak. And that was during an Allied bombing raid, Adolf and his family were in a bomb shelter. And Rudolf and his family came to this small bomb shelter to enter it, but they were already there. Now, they came in together, but when they came in, Adolf made a comment that he thought he was speaking about the bombing raids that were happening from Americans. But Rudolf thought he was talking about him. And so this little miscommunication, you say, where do you get this information? Look it up. It's on the internet. That's believable, right? No, I'm just kidding. It's real. Time magazine reported this back a few years ago. And you'll see this little miscommunication of words led them to what was the final straw in their rift. And so within a matter of months, they had split apart into two companies. One stayed where they were on one side of the river. The other moved to the other side of the river. Adolf Dassler went by the name Adi. So Adidas became his company, Adidas. Rudolf Dassler formed his company and called it Ruda. That name didn't work, so they changed it to Puma. And so here on opposite sides of the river, you have these two families who both became millionaires and incredibly successful within the matter of the next decade or so. But for 40 years, as these companies grew, as all of these great things happening, for 40 years, the rift remained. They never made amends. They never reconciled. They never forgave one another. They could stand at the water's edge and look across the river at these huge factories on each side that were being built and all the great success, and evil was in their heart, and they never made it right. That story to me is so sad because it's a testament to how many people live their lives. And what I would say to you this morning and remind you of, in a very important way, is that all the money in the world will not mend broken relationships. The scripture says, repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. All the success in the world cannot overcome hate in your heart or pride. So what Adi and Rudolf needed was a healthy dose of God's grace and truth. But they never found it. And oh, how sad it was. It's interesting to see that back in 2011, even the people that work in these companies were at odds. And finally in 2011, from those that had taken over the company, they decided to have an exhibition soccer match between employees from the two companies and sort of make amends long after the founders were dead, long after it was too late for them to make amends. So what I would say to you from this verse, repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. I would encourage you to write it down this way. Grace and retaliation cannot dwell in the same shoes. As you walk along in life, grace and retaliation cannot dwell in the same shoes. Now, let me explain what I mean. When I read Romans 12, not just this one verse, but the entire chapter, and if you're like me, we've read it now many times, and I've read it a number of times in preparing for sermons. But here's what I've come to realize. I cannot treat Romans 12 like a big checklist of do's and don'ts. That is not what Romans 12 is. Romans 12 is not where you wake up one day and say, today I will show honor to one person, check. Or today I will use my spiritual gift this one time, check. Or today I'm going to contribute to the needs of a saint, check. No. Instead, what I picture is myself and you simply walking along in daily life, living out the words of Romans 12, one simple choice at a time. I have tried my best to very actively remember that every decision you make is a decision to live Romans 12 or not, to show honor or not, to show grace or not, to show love or not, to react in truth or not, to follow the plans of God or not. Every single story we tell. Let me sort of illustrate this in a little different way. I've got some shoes on, and these shoes, and I'm going to talk about grace and retaliation, not living in the same shoes. So if you will, we'll let these shoes be my grace shoes. And I've got another pair of shoes here, and these shoes are going to be my natural shoes. These will be my retaliation shoes. You guys like those? Now that is a good-looking pair of tennis shoes. And so let me change first here. Okay, neighbors, we'll keep going here. So that's all my message. We're done. Okay, that's good enough. Thank you. So, we all love Mr. Rogers, right? He taught people to outdo one another in showing kindness. He was living this out, and you didn't know it. But anyway, that's a whole other story. So I have my grace shoes, and I have my retaliation shoes on. I can't do that very often. So that high kick, you won't see it again. That was it. Okay. So here's what I want to do. I want you to picture, it is not a checklist, but it is more, I feel like this, that this, picture as I'm going to walk, that this is you and me walking in life. You're going to walk somewhere today. You're going to go to the store. You're going to go to a restaurant. You're going to interact with your family. I fail at this sometimes. I succeed at it sometimes, but it's like this. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Now, the worldly side, the natural side would say, I came to church, I'm good for the day. But the grace side stops and says, okay, every step I take, every action I take today is an act of worship. How I respond to someone at the store is an act of worship, so I trade and put on my grace shoes. Next verse, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by your testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. I think about late at night, sitting watching TV, for me, for you, for any of us, you're flipping channels along and you can decide that you will, a show comes on that you know is not honoring to the Lord and it's going to cause you not to renew your mind. It's going to just cause you to be polluted by the world. So you have to make a choice. Am I going to walk and make that choice in my worldly shoes, or I'm going to make that choice and walk in my grace shoes? It's a choice to be made. Now, all this is happening instantaneous, but you'll change shoes. You'll decide, am I going to walk the natural way and just watch it because it seems like it could be entertaining, or will I make a wise choice and not put into my mind something I should not be putting there, and so I'll walk in grace in that moment. Verse 3, for by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. I think this is one area we all deal with on a daily basis, because you will be attacked by pride all day long. If you have not been attacked by pride today already, it's because you're not looking for it. I'm telling you, our inner man, all sin, I am convinced, goes back to the root of pride. Everything, no matter what, it goes back to what's happening that I believe I deserve or I am better or this. And so everything does. So you have to make a choice when pride attacks. Will I walk in grace or will I walk in retaliation? Will I esteem myself higher than I ought to than someone else? We keep going. Verse 4, for as in one body, we have many members and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Let us use them. If prophecy in accordance to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. And again, I'm making a decision right every day because God's gifted me. My spiritual gifts come with work gloves. So am I going to decide to walk in grace, or am I going to decide just to let my life be about me? And so I see someone who has a need and I know my gift of encouragement can help them. But am I too busy to deal with it? Am I going to stop and put on the worldly shoe, or am I going to stop and put on the grace shoe. And I hope we will choose grace. But I want to encourage you to realize that for you, it's a choice every step you take. You see, Romans 12 is not, let's pick out one thing and do it today. You will be faced with this entire chapter all day long, every day of your life. If you leave your house for any reason, you will come in contact with people. If you have an opportunity to speak and communicate with someone, you have to make a choice to walk in grace, or walk in retaliation. The choice really is yours, but it's one that we take every step. So it's not about one big choice that I will follow Romans 12. It's about every small, simple decision, every step of the way. So I want to encourage you, when it comes to living out your faith, let's borrow from another shoe company, just do it. Just make the wise choice from Romans chapter 12. We can choose to do that. So you get the point of what I'm saying. So God's grace has made you new, but the old you is still at hand. It's just the truth. I want you to understand, we can walk new in Christ. There's no doubt about that. The scripture's clear. But the old nature, the old man is right there. And here's what I've come to learn. If you have confrontation, or you see an injustice, or someone is rude to you, or mistreats you, or evil, it seems to awaken the old you and me as fast as a reflex. It just happens very quickly. So for every grace-filled believer in this room, it becomes a split-second decision and a choice we make over and over all day: retaliate or walk in grace. Now, you're not going to face this once today. You'll face it over and over all day long. Have a bad waitress? Choose which shoes you're going to wear. You have a rude coworker? Choose which shoes you're going to wear. You have a spouse that's having a hard day and snips a little bit at you? Choose which shoes you're going to wear. It really is a choice to make to do what is honorable or choose retaliation. Do not repay evil for evil. But then it goes on to say in verse 18, take a look there, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. So what is Paul saying? Paul gives us a caveat. He says there will be some instances, where you cannot live peaceably with someone. It's going to happen from time to time. But the guidelines from this chapter are crystal clear, and they're not designed to let you off the hook very easy. This is not about good. Paul's saying only if it's possible. Well, it's not possible with this person and this person and this person. No, they're not trying to let you off the hook very easily, because it tells us how to even show honor in disagreement. But here it's saying, if at all possible, you live peaceably with others. But if you find yourself in a situation where you have been hurt or attacked, or it is unhealthy for your family in some way, or you to be in a certain situation, whether it's a job or whatever the case may be, I would encourage you to do this, that even in the midst of not being able to walk in peace with that person, do your best to allow the Holy Spirit to help you walk in grace, love, and truth with them, because that's what God would have us to do. And if the other person simply won't allow for peace, you have to show honor in the disagreement. This is really such practical help for us in Romans 12. So here's how I would encourage you to live out this verse 18. If you were to put it in a phrase that you were to remember like we have every week, it would be this: godly people act, worldly people react. So what I would encourage you to remember: godly people act, worldly people react. Here's what I know about myself. Sometimes I act and sometimes I react. What about you? You see, what happens is action is on purpose. We respond in a certain way. But to react is often a reflex, and it happens in the natural man, and we're not following God's plan when that happens. So you've got a choice to make. But the choice begins long before the offense ever takes place. The choice begins long before you ever find yourself in a quick confrontation. The choice begins way before your spouse snaps at you. The choice begins way before that, when you are taking in the power of the Holy Spirit who's at work in your life, as you dwell on scripture like Romans 12, as we seek to live it out one step at a time. You see, it's Holy Spirit living that leads us to make decisions based off of grace. But you can be a believer. This is important to hear. You can be a believer who has the Holy Spirit inside of you, but does not walk in Romans 12 living. You can be a believer who still does only the natural things. So I want to encourage you, you have to allow the Holy Spirit to have control of your life. You have to walk in the power of what God has given to you right there. It is not enough to own the tools to complete a project. You have to pick those tools up and use them. God has provided a way for you. So is there someone you struggle with who has shown evil to you or anger or resentment, and you're trying to figure out how to deal with it? Romans 12:17, repay no one evil for evil. Romans 12:18, as far as it depends on you, live peaceably with others. It's not always in your control. We understand that. But you just be honorable in the midst of that. Now, you say, well, why would we devote an entire message to these two verses? Really, is there that much of this going on? Friends, everybody in this room deals with conflict and difficulty from time to time. If we will take this simple approach, God can move in power in that. Would you pray with me? Our invitation is very simple today. We invite you to walk in Romans 12 living. For some, it means you'll memorize Romans 12:17-18. There are some people in the room who have been working on memorizing the whole chapter. What a blessing that is. For others, it's simply a choice today that says, I will choose grace over retaliation tomorrow morning at work when I see that one coworker. I will choose grace over retaliation when I deal with that spouse that doesn't really honor me or follow the ways of Jesus. I will choose grace over retaliation when I'm struggling with my child or I'm struggling with that stranger, I'm struggling with someone else. So some of us today who have been walking in anger and difficulty, it's just time to stop and choose grace. Then lastly, for some of us with our heads bowed, maybe for you, God's saying this, you in Romans 12 living need to begin to choose to act, not just react. Don't just react to whatever's thrown your way in your own flesh, but begin to act by living out Romans 12 in the midst of that. Father, I pray if there's one person here that doesn't know you, that they would know the most important choice they can make is to receive you. But for others here that do know you, my prayer is that they would choose Romans 12:17-18 living. We will all be faced with difficulty and pain and evil at some point. May we not repay it in the same way we receive it. Lord, may we learn from Adi and Rudy Dossler, whose lives by the world standards may have been great success, but we all know when it comes to what really matters in life, relationships and growth in you, they were utter failures. So Father, my prayer is that we would not walk in that we would not settle for worldly success, but we would only settle for godly success in our relationships and how we care for one another. Father, there are some people in this room who I pray that you would work in their heart because they have to learn to forgive and show grace. They have to learn to walk in that. Father, there are others who have been trying so hard and it has not, they've been met with the blank wall or a brick wall of response. So Father, that they could know, because it doesn't depend on them, that they still must be honorable even though they cannot live peaceable with someone else. And Father, for others in here that maybe everything's fine relationship-wise right now, but the truth is we're gonna come into small situations every day that we're gonna interact with people. May we live out these words of Romans 12. May we walk in them. May we understand that grace and retaliation, godliness and the natural man cannot dwell in the same shoes. And may we choose in each step to put the right shoes on, every single step of the way, following you. Father, we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to stand together.